Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 246.
This week on the podcast, add Jared Kushner to the list of very good people who may or may not be committing treason.
And Trump, the Pope, and the twins from The Shining meet at the Vatican.
Presidents, they're just like us. Trump doesn't understand how NATO works either.
And at the G7 summit, Trump trails world leaders in his golf cart and in actual leadership.
Plus, inspired by the LoveGov, Alabama's GOP is out early to get some strange and keep it.
And if you're an unqualified, aspiring federal judge or other appointee, it's time to get to work on that resume.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
We're back under one roof.
Here we are.
We made it through the world's tinniest sounding rundown last week.
No.
We had a technical difficulty, you guys. It happens.
You know, it happens.
But we're back just in time to report on who the third musketeer in the Trump FBI Russia investigations.
Yeah. Last week we told you that somebody within the administration was being looked at. And then this week, lo and behold,
we found out who it was.
Yeah.
My mother reported that the third musketeer had been discovered to me via text message.
Yes.
And it was an exciting moment. Because it's Jared Kushner.
Right.
I didn't see it being him.
I didn't.
I'm not going to lie to you.
No.
And now I worry that he's stupider than I thought.
Yeah.
Which I knew he was inexperienced.
Because he's aren't they calling him like the secretary of everything or something like that? Because he's like.
He's like so the big. Only medium, almost thinking person in the White House.
Right.
Who's not like a Sean Spicer running around with their head cut off type person.
Yeah.
Or like a Kellyanne Conway alternative facts type person.
Right.
Or a Steve Bannon white supremacist type person.
Right.
And. Now we've discovered that his dealings with the Russians were far more intricate and stupider than we could have possibly guessed.
Yes, exactly.
Because apparently he spoke in December with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak, about establishing a secret communications channel between the Trump transition team and Moscow. Now, theoretically, this was going to be to discuss strategy in Syria and ways that they could work together.
But you know what? Details. You can just do that like on an actual
Here are the details that make that feel unlikely.
Yeah.
First of all, so this conversation took place at that meeting at Trump Tower where the Trump transition team didn't acknowledge that they were meeting with Russian diplomats.
Right.
And also, Michael Flynn was present at the meeting.
Exactly.
So it wasn't just a meeting between Kislyak and Kushner, a guy who doesn't know much.
And that is the that's the
keep that in your mind.
Right. That's the thing that sort of threw
makes
it
makes the
for
rest
me.
Of this
because,
unlikely.
Like, initially, I was like, all right, well, I heard about this, and I was like, well, he's an idiot, but not necessarily an idiot in the stupid person way, but he's like, he's not worked in government. He doesn't know how to communicate with foreign governments. He's like, there's a little bit of naivete going on here, you know? But then you find out that Flynn is there, and then all of those things go out the window because Flynn
should have known better. Because here's what happened. So the Times didn't report that this was Kushner's idea, but Washington Post, who broke the story, did. And I'm inclined to believe them because it seems like he's the only person inexperienced enough at the table to have actually suggested this ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
Because basically what he proposed is that they develop a direct line for their transition team through Russia's diplomatic facilities.
Right. Yes.
And that would be to avoid being monitored by U.S. intelligence, communication.
Yeah. As if that's... As if we're not monitoring that.
Also, first of all, the Washington Post reported that Kislyak was surprised by this. The Times also refused to report this. And, like, of course he was surprised by this because he's a career diplomat who was probably like, you know
what?
That you're spying on us, right?
No.
Like, these aren't going to be secret conversations.
No.
That we're, like, it's like a web of spying that can't even, we can't even, it's like a chicken and egg scenario at this point.
Totally.
Like, we're probably spying on them spying on us.
Of course.
Like, we're all spying on each other.
Yeah.
So there's no world in which we have a secret, secure communication system set up. And we do have secure communications lines set up with countries,
but
they're through our own intelligence services.
Right.
The people that know about them are our intelligence services, not just other people's. You usually don't try to keep a secret from your own country's intelligence services.
Yeah. Well, do when you're trying to undermine the current administration.
So that leads us to believe
this
that
was
something
before they had taken over.
Something more was at, you know, was in the discussion here.
Yeah. Certainly they weren't doing it to talk shop about Syria.
Was dropped as soon as Rex Tillerson was announced as the Exxon, as the Secretary of State.
as the Exxon Mobil Secretary of State. Right.
Because he's BFFs with a bunch of Russian officials.
Right, so we didn't need a back channel at that point. We had a direct back channel.
We had a BFF.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. But so now Kushner is in the hot seat. regarding his connections to Russia. He also had separate meetings with some other Russian business people in this time, including Sergei Gorkov, who's a Russian banker who has close ties to Putin. And
that was days after this meeting.
That was days after this meeting.
So there was some, there were Russian shenanigans going on around this time with Kushner.
Russian shenanigans going on. It's unclear to anyone why this would need to happen outside of the knowledge of U.S. intelligence agencies. And American intelligence agencies learned about this a few months ago, but we still don't know whether they learned about it from intercepting Russian communications or by other means, because no one's really clear how this information that Kislyak was surprised and all of these, this color to the story got planted in the story.
Yeah. Well, but the other thing is that this doesn't seem to be the case, and I don't know why they didn't just say this is what happened, because they probably could have passed it off easily this way, because the Russians will often share false things over communications that they think is being spied on or know is being spied on
to basically to make sure just give
like false flags for things like that.
To find out and if it's being spied on.
A lot of people
like
who
that
were,
Comey letter.
Yes.
Like that Loretta Lynch Comey letter.
Right. But a lot of people sort of at least were speculating that maybe that's what had happened here, but nobody has said that that was the case.
Well, and so it seems while there were details of it that the Times was not able to verify from the Washington Post story, the Times and the Post both verified the intelligence.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like they verified from multiple sources that this conversation had happened and that this had been part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So this was corroborated by several news agencies. It wasn't just ultimately one that was reporting it. So in any case, and also Reuters reported on Friday that he had had two previously undisclosed phone calls with Kislyak between April and Election Day.
Right.
So he had had several instances of communication with Kislyak.
Those to me are more troubling.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean,
especially because he's coming up with dumbass ideas like having secret, like,
because why,
a movie.
Because you don't need, after the election, I understand, like, the reasons that you can make up for talking to world leaders. Like, I get that. Now, I have a feeling there was something more nefarious going on here, but like...
But only because our national security advisor has resigned and we could...
There are
our
reasons,
attorney general had to recuse himself from the investigation.
Yes, exactly.
Only because of those things.
Only because of those things. But there are reasons after you have won an election that you might want to talk to the Russian ambassador.
Sure.
Now, that's not normally how things work. Usually, you wait until you have actually had the transfer of power and you are... in the administration.
Right.
But between April and Election Day...
Right, usually U.S. presidential campaigns aren't in touch with foreign governments.
No.
That's just not usually how it works.
And when what they're being accused of is meddling in our election...
Yeah.
It seems like
this
that
has to be seen
to me,
in the context we know for a fact that Russia purchased a whole bunch of Facebook ads and other things to aid Trump's election. I mean, we know specific things that Russia did to aid in Trump's campaign.
Right.
So this is seen in the context of that. This has a much more nefarious meaning than it does if you're just like, oh, a 36-year-old Orthodox Jewish real estate mogul and bank and you know the U.S. Russia ambassador just like to hang out a little.
Right.
Like that's not. And I've been thinking a lot because Brent and I were talking before this podcast about why do this, Russia?
Right.
Why is any of this happening? And I have a theory that, like much of Trump's presidency, this was the results of this were fairly unplanned. Russia just sort of wound up in the right place at the right time. But going back to that photo of Michael Flynn
Putin, Jill Stein,
a bunch of Russia people,
it was for
diplomats,
RT,
right?
Russia,
and Jill Stein. It's clear that the Russians were trying to get footholds in fringe campaigns.
Yeah,
and the fact that Jill Stein is at the table with Donald Trump.
Yep.
Proves that we, you know, that these are fringe candidates that they're trying to approach.
Yep.
And, you know, that's because a fringe candidate doesn't have the chance to approach and speak to world leaders traditionally as someone like a former Secretary of State might.
Right.
So that's an opportunity to some degree for them. And that's how you get someone like a Jill Stein to go to one of these meetings.
Yeah.
But it also means they weren't exactly at that table having representatives from major campaigns.
No.
You know, there wasn't a Kasich campaign staffer. No. So this Trump... seen in the, you know, it sounds like they were trying to gain some sort of foothold in, you know, our campaign and political, into the campaign and the political system via a fringe candidate and accidentally hit the jackpot,
right,
basically.
Exactly.
Because even they seem a little shocked by right. what's been going down.
Well, they were shocked by that. Kislyak was shocked by that. Yeah. And also, it doesn't appear, though,
the Russians,
that now that they have won the presidency themselves, like,
what are they doing with
President
that?
Russia? Yeah, exactly.
What's
their
plan here?
So far, it's just been to let him fuck everything up.
Was supposed to be to plant random shit about Ukraine and Syria in the U.S. media in an attempt to make a conversation happen around it.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of thing Russia does.
Yeah, exactly.
Is they like plant ridiculous stories that you then have to talk about because some fringe candidate picked it up, like a Donald Trump. Because what they were basically, I think that they were scanning the fringe candidates to see who was also stupid.
Yes.
Found their guy.
Yeah.
And moved on from there thinking, oh, perfect. We'll tell him stuff. We'll make him feel like he has access to something. And in exchange, he'll sort of parrot talking points that benefit us, especially in Syria. As, you know, he'll say these things in the debates. He'll say these things in his foreign policy briefs. He'll say, you know, there will be all of these times that he'll get to talk about policy that benefits Russia. I don't think could have been foreseen, though.
No.
Certainly
not.
They clearly dove in once they knew.
Yes, they did.
They didn't fool around. But I mean, that's like Russia's like pretty expert spiers. Like this seems like an eventual, like getting Donald Trump elected seems like an eventuality they wouldn't have thought was going to happen.
No.
In any case, as a result of these new revelations and some other things that have been happening, Kushner, who we once thought was totally
untouchable person,
is seeing his White House role shrinking. Now, in context, any other person that this happened to would have been fired over the weekend.
Yes.
So the fact that he still exists in the White House is a sign that, you know...
And that they haven't even commented on. The White House hasn't said boo.
No, exactly. That's a sign that he's a little more untouchable than maybe we'd like.
Yes.
But because he has been sort of... He's been butting heads with Trump on a few things, and Trump was away when all of this happened, so there really hasn't been a chance for the White House to react, because it's a holiday weekend now. So, like, I think that we're going to find that Kushner, like everyone, can have a downfall. Now, I'm waiting for all these other downfalls. I've been hearing we've been hearing talk for weeks now about this shakeup that's supposed to happen. Like, let's let this fucking happen.
Seriously.
I'm ready for the shakeup.
Right?
These fools are doing nothing worthwhile for anyone, including Trump. But there are also some Democrats now calling for them to revoke Kushner's security clearance.
You think?
Which it sounds like they should do.
Yes, I agree. Well,
Among them, our own Adam Schiff.
I'm sure that he lied about... we know that Flynn didn't...
Well, he didn't disclose these phone calls.
Right,
and he said it was an oversight.
Right, because he took thousands of phone calls in that period of time.
But these are the kind of phone calls that, like, there are... They do allow... You know, they were talking about this with somebody who I can't remember who from the Obama campaign who had a Canadian wife or something. And he was saying, like, in filling out all of this paperwork, he was positive he was going to make a mistake. And he went to talk to the, you know, ethics people about it. And they were like, listen, if it's an honest mistake and you just went to see your kids in Canada, like, we will allow an honest mistake.
Yeah.
This...
They all seem to forget about meeting with Russia, though.
Every single member of the Trump transition team seemed to forget about Russia.
Yeah. And also, if you're a 36-year-old person who has never worked in government, like, you would remember two phone calls that you had with the...
one of the leaders of diplomats in Russia.
Russia.
Right.
Like, that would just... You would...
I once spoke to Jeff Flake on the phone. I still talk about it all the time.
Yes, I know.
I mean...
Yes.
That was a time that I remember.
Yeah.
I could right now fill out some sort of ethics paperwork that would include that phone call.
Every detail of that phone conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't...
He wasn't even Senator Jeff Flake at the time.
No. No.
It was Representative Jeff Flake.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a time.
Yeah.
So in any case, instead of addressing this situation, Trump did release a statement on Sunday praising Kushner for his hard work.
Mm.
Said, Jared is doing a great job for the country. I have total confidence in him. He's respected by virtually everyone and is working on programs that will save our country billions of dollars.
Mm.
In addition to that, and perhaps more importantly, he's a very good person.
Yes, he and Michael Flynn.
Sorry, I did not realize he was a very good person. I will immediately drop all of my questions about Russia.
Exactly.
Case closed.
Uh-huh.
He's a good person.
Yep.
He wouldn't do this because he's a good person.
No.
If there's one thing we know about real estate moguls with jailed dads, is that they're generally...
good people.
Wonderful
the
people.
The best. Yeah.
With a silver spoon, a dad in jail, and a real estate empire that has this week been accused of being horrible slumlords who take legal action against impoverished residents just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Definitely a good person.
Yeah, but when you only know assholes.
When you only know assholes, it's hard to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
But it's worth, you know, they have butt heads over Comey, over Bannon, over Sean Spicer.
Yep.
There was one really serious point of contention, though, that came up recently that I think is sort of like the beginning of this fissure.
Yeah.
And that is that Kushner's sister, Nicole Meyer, was pitching a bunch of potential investors in Beijing for Kushner companies on a condominium project in Jersey City. And at one point in this video, there's video of this, mm-hmm. She dangles the availability of EB-5 visas in the U.S. as an enticement to these Chinese financiers to get them to spend more than $500,000 on this project. And so not only does this undercut his immigration crackdown, but it also makes it look like people are profiteering. People are
getting access. Yes, profiteering.
As a result of their access to Trump. And even though he is profiteering as a result of his access to himself, he doesn't like it when other people make that case.
Right.
So that's hilariously a big no-no in the Trump White House, is you as a non-Trump can't look like you're profiteering. Yeah.
Scheming with Russia,
With Russia, totally fine. And if you're Ivanka Trump, go ahead and profiteer up a storm. That's no big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why not? While we're in Saudi Arabia, let's talk business. But if you are Nicole Meyer, who is just sort of tangentially related to Trump. Not even a direct Trumper.
Right.
Trumpet.
Doesn't work in the government. Doesn't have...
She's close to Jared Kushner. So the reason she's offering this is because she has proximity.
Yes.
That is a big embarrassing no-no. So
offer that unless you know you can offer that.
Exactly.
Too, by the way.
So Trump's been apparently walking around the White House making snarky comments about this.
Yes.
No one knows what Kushner's replies. It's like Veep times a trillion. Yeah. Like, the petty nonsense that must go on in this White House.
But it's POTUS, which is more upsetting.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of Veep.
Yeah, it's not even the vice president who has no power to do anything.
Yeah.
But also, Kushner apparently was not that close to Trump before the campaign began.
Yeah, that's what I found to be interesting.
And I didn't realize that because I wasn't following the Trump campaign until it was a legit thing, obviously.
And Kushner has been sort of outspoken, and this is another thing that I think Trump hasn't been super happy about, but he sort of, like, has made it clear, not necessarily publicly, but he is doing all of these things to sort of like help Trump, like, personally. Like, we know that his politics don't necessarily match up. I would say if he's only doing this to sort of like help him as a person, then he probably doesn't have great morals either, which shouldn't shock anyone.
Shock.
Exactly. But I mean, Trump could very easily go back to not giving one shit about Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
Because
the reason that he got on board in the first place is because he helped sell Rupert Murdoch on the Trump campaign.
Right. And like helped out with their
digital operation
or something, right?
But it was basically that he made these digital videos and then showed them to Rupert Murdoch during a lunch in 2015.
But he and Trump didn't have much of a relationship
before,
prior to like a year and a half ago.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's not, I don't think, as untouchable as we all thought.
Right. He's not this like longtime beloved stepson who can do no wrong.
And that's the thing with the Trump universe is
son-in-law. Sorry.
No one is that person until they are, and then they aren't as soon as they aren't.
Right.
You can cut people out of the family easily.
Yep.
You know, you can, and he turns nasty when he cuts people out of the family. I mean, look at what happened to Ivanka. But Ivana.
Yeah, Ivana.
And so it's not stable ground necessarily.
No.
I mean, Ivanka will always be his angel child.
Yes.
But he doesn't have to like her husband.
No, he certainly
doesn't. I bet he's gone through many phases where he hasn't.
He probably has, yes.
Phases where he wishes his daughter was available on Friday nights. She no longer is.
No, she's not.
In any case, Trump finally got home from Europe and went on a Twitter rant about all of this, you know, Kushner stuff. He didn't directly address it.
Right.
But he said, "It's my opinion that many of the leaks coming out of the White House are fabricated lies made up by the hashtag fake news media."
Yes, fake news.
It's his opinion. That's fine.
Just for sure.
His opinion.
You can have an opinion.
You're welcome to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hashtag fake news media could have a different opinion. But
Exactly.
He also tweeted hilariously. Well, he went on a weird rant about reporters who include the term sources say in their stories. That's because everyone's leaking out of his White House.
Right.
So every news story in the world right now has sources say in
it.
And then another tweet, entirely unrelated, was hilariously misguided.
Oh, God.
"I suggest that we add more dollars to healthcare and make it the best anywhere."
Huh?
"Obamacare is dead. The Republicans will do much better."
Huh?
It's interesting
what?
How much he hasn't read
Either the AHCA or his own budget proposal.
No, I mean, there are so few documents that it seems like he has read in relation to healthcare. He's like back to trying to make us, it's like when he, and this is, when he talks about funding infrastructure, he's not talking about funding infrastructure. No, he's talking about cutting funding for infrastructure. Same thing with healthcare. Yeah. When he says we should fund healthcare and make it the best anywhere, we all agree with that sentiment.
That's right.
I'm in. Let's fund healthcare and make it the best anywhere. Mm-hmm. I believe we can do it too.
So do I.
He's not talking about that though. No. He's talking about cutting funding from healthcare.
Right.
He's talking about the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I've had a hard time understanding how to interpret these like weird populist rants he goes on.
Yeah.
But I realized that at a certain point you just have to understand that he means the opposite.
Yes.
Always.
And I do actually think that he is like a real life idiot. And I know we've been down this road on the podcast, and that's not a revolutionary theory.
Well, he's at least turned into one.
But I mean, like, he's at least turned into one.
If he didn't start as a real life idiot, he became one.
But I mean, I don't think that I have a feeling when he sent that tweet, he truly did not understand the ridiculousness of it.
Well, here's the thing. He's glib. And Republicans are glib, and that's how they mask what they're doing a lot of the time. And I mean, Democrats too, to some extent. That's politics.
Right.
But we elect those people to actually understand the issue, and then they say the glib thing to us, and we either agree or don't agree.
Right.
We don't elect those people to have only a glib understanding of the issue.
Right. No, we don't.
And that's where we're... But he's also getting dumber.
Yeah.
I think the more overwhelmed he gets, the dumber he seems to get.
Yeah.
Because, like, someone was observing clips of him from, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
And he could speak in coherent sentences and had, like, a decent vocabulary.
Right.
It's like his vocabulary has drained out of his head.
Yep.
It's like his thoughts and ability to comprehend complex or simple ideas.
All of those best words that he had.
Right, are gone.
They're gone.
And now he just like describes people as, you know, good men, bad men.
Nut jobs.
Losers. Like winners. And like it's like he's reverted back to some elementary school vocabulary. And I'm sure there's some conspiracy theorist who's listening to this who is saying, yes, he's that smart.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not.
He's not.
And the sooner that we come to that realization, the sooner we can figure out what to do about this. But he's not. He's not doing it to be clever. He has an instinctive understanding of how to communicate with people because everyone is easy to communicate when you're talking like a first grader.
He didn't stop using all of his best words as part of some long game strategy.
No. Exactly. He doesn't have a long game strategy.
No.
Or a strategy.
No.
Of any term.
Short.
He has a strategy
immediate
of
nothing.
This
has,
instant.
Right. He has a Twitter strategy.
He has a Twitter strategy. And that's to tweet whatever comes to his mind at the moment.
Right.
Whether or not it makes any sense.
Bingo.
In any case.
Yeah.
So his Europe trip. Filled with hilarity from our part.
Yeah.
Filled with concerning visuals from everyone else's part.
Yes.
He met with the Pope and for like 30 minutes.
Yep.
The most hilarious thing that he did was spitefully decide that Sean Spicer couldn't meet the Pope, even though Sean Spicer is the only Catholic in the administration.
Yes.
And there were people who he outranks who did get to meet the Pope.
God.
So, you know, they posed for some photos, and then there were a few photos where the Pope wasn't smiling, and those made the rounds on the internet.
Yes.
And then people added the twins from The Shining, the American Gothic couple, you know, anyone that they could think of that was really scowling their heart out.
Uh-huh.
Ivanka and Melania look like they were going to the world's most funerally funeral.
Yes. Now, it is customary, I believe, to wear...
it is.
...to do the veil.
It is. Those were morbid veils, though.
I know.
I have never seen a more morbid pair of veils.
There was that meme going around that I loved that was, like, the picture of her that said, you know, dress for the job you want.
Yeah.
And then underneath it said, widow. And I was like, oh, that's sad, but it's also really funny.
But it's really true.
Yeah.
Hilariously, though... So they exchange gifts, because that's what you do when you meet with, like, an important person.
Yep.
Trump gave Pope Francis books by Martin Luther King Jr.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm surprised he knows about Martin Luther King.
I know.
I mean, he's getting more and more recognized
these days.
He's getting
more, right, exactly. Yes, that's it.
Uh-huh. Him and Frederick Douglass are finally getting...
He's doing a great job.
Doing a great job.
Martin Luther King.
And finally getting the respect that they deserve.
Yep.
The Pope gave him an emblem of an olive tree as a peace thing. And... also, a bunch of his writings, including his encyclical on climate change.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Get it, Pope.
And then, as they shook hands to say goodbye, Trump told him, I won't forget what you said.
Mm.
and then adding that the Pope call him for help. I love he. That's such a businessman-y thing to end a meeting and be like, totally. Give me a call about that thing we talked about.
Yeah, totally. Like,
and then he tweeted, I leave the Vatican more determined than ever to pursue peace in our world.
Mm. Well, he couldn't have, he was already at a level of not caring about it, that it only could have gone to a level of caring about it more.
Another example of him being an empty vessel where you could just fill with your own ideas yes. at the moment, but they just drain out of him yes. immediately as soon as Steve Bannon comes back yeah. into the room. Because,
but it's also like one of those things where, like, if you're the Pope and you start talking to Donald Trump about world peace, Donald Trump probably thought to himself, well, I've never thought about world peace before.
Right.
Because, like, that's not,
right.
it's not no. what he's up to caring about.
No, he's got hotels to build. He's right. not he isn't trying to care about
yeah,
world peace.
Right.
But it's like the time that he it suddenly is. Wanted to save Obamacare because he spent 5 minutes talking
to Obama before he had a 60 Minutes
right.
interview.
Right, exactly. Yes. Pope Francis talked to him about peace because that's what Pope Francis does. And then he was like, you know, peace is a good idea. Until 10 minutes later when he forgot the meeting.
He realizes that he wants to bomb everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard.
So in any case, and then there was also this weird exchange between Melania and Francis yes. where they shook hands and the pontiff asked her what she feeds the president. And she answered pizza.
And then they shared a laugh.
Yeah. You know, she's not just steak, she's an innocent
not well
in all
done
of
steak.
This. Well, she's not feeding him well done steak.
No. She's also not holding his hand.
Not
at
all.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Nowhere.
That was funny the first time it happened, and then it kept happening.
Continued to be funny.
She is not
yes.
trying to hold his hand. And no. listen, I get it.
Yeah.
First of all, he has tiny, tiny hands.
Yeah.
So tiny that yeah. it's impossible to hold on to them.
And also, ooh.
Right, gross. Cooties.
Yeah.
In any case, then Trump went to NATO,
yeah.
where they had changed the entire meeting to basically not give him an opportunity to say anything worthwhile at NATO.
Right, because they knew what he was going to say, because he's been saying it forever, and right. they weren't trying to hear it. But they had to instead.
But they anyway. Had to give him a chance to speak at an event welcoming everyone to the NATO meeting,
yeah.
Outside of the NATO meeting. And yeah. he managed to get his attacks in there.
He just lectured everybody.
Yeah.
And
on what is hilariously the most wrong set of talking points.
Yeah, and this I didn't realize, but we're going to explain to you how NATO funding yeah. works. But before we tell you how NATO funding works, is that the speech was so ridiculous when he said, over the last 8 years, the United States spent more on defense than all other NATO countries combined. And then he sort of like went on to, he talked about like how they owed all of this back
right.
money. And then
massive
but,
amounts in back payments
yes,
to the U.S.
Yes. Okay. First off, that was so ridiculous because it's wrong, which we'll explain to you why, that everyone there, world leaders from everywhere,
yeah.
were laughing visibly while he was giving his
speech. They had giggle fits.
Giggle fits.
It was too ridiculous.
Emmanuel Macron thought it was like that Trump was doing a stand-up routine.
He basically
during
was.
He basically was.
This is what I imagine French yeah. stand-up comedy is like, by the way.
Probably.
I don't know what French stand-up comedy is like,
I
but I feel like
yeah.
this has
but
to
he
be
thought it was a real laugh riot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And so did some of the others.
I mean, there was a whole giggle attack happening
right.
all over the place.
Right. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
We've heard Trump talk about how all of these countries weren't paying their fair share of
into
NATO. And I sort of like, while I don't necessarily trust what Trump is telling me as fact, I sort of, for whatever reason, believed that to be true. And I can't really point to why. But it
seems... Well, because it's the only thing you've ever heard about NATO.
Right, exactly. And it seemed also
it
sort of
plausible.
Like a thing. Like, yeah, it was... right, it
there's got to be a budget
it
for
seems,
NATO.
Right, exactly. It seems like there could be a fund that all of these countries are paying money into, and some of them aren't paying properly. Some of them have gone through some economic hard times
right.
over the last few years.
I would believe that, like, Spain
so
is
it
not...
It sounded reasonable. But guess what? There is no NATO kitty. There's no NATO checking account. What this money is based on an agreement from actually just a couple years ago, in 2014, where they all agreed to putting 2% of their own country's GDP back into their own military. And the reason that they agreed to that is because we're all supposed to be protecting each other. Like, that's
right.
what under Article 5, which we'll get to in a second, because that was a point of contention at NATO as well.
Right.
We're all supposed to be, you know, protecting each other with our militaries if something happens to any of the other countries.
Right.
So that is where this 2% came in there that he keeps talking about. But they have until 2024 to do it. But there was a 10-year period in
right.
which they gave themselves when they did this agreement in 2014.
Right, so no one's required to meet this goal
nobody's
yet.
Nobody's required to meet the goal yet. They're not supposed to be paying it to the U.S. or to NATO. The U.S. hasn't been covering for the other countries.
No.
There's it's
It's not, it's like wrong. There's it's a just budget completely wrong. In NATO.
There's not.
And like, thanks to France, they're not right. meeting their budget.
No. France like, is just not meeting their own military budget. And my guess is that their military is probably doing just fine.
Yeah. If I had to make a wild guess.
Yeah. But the other thing that I think that it's important to remember is that the U.S., Trump talks about like how we are spending all of this money on our own military in reference to the other countries so not putting
NATO
their...
discussion.
Right. As if the only reason that the U.S. is continuing to spend massive and many, including me, would contend, yes, excessive and unnecessary amounts on our military is because we're doing it to make up for some lack of other spending that, like, Montenegro is doing or of whatever 2% right. of their GDP is, which is not a thing.
We're doing it because we want to.
We're doing it because we want to be the world's fucking superpower, and it doesn't have one damn thing to do with whether we want to fund NATO properly because there is no NATO funding. That's not a thing. NATO funding isn't a thing. So it's
so this talking
completely
point is
ridiculous.
Misleading and ridiculous.
Totally misleading. It doesn't have... Our military spending has nothing to do with some sort of like mystery NATO funding.
And by the way, nobody has actually been in violation of anything because they have until 2024
right,
to make
exactly.
this happen.
Yes.
It's not like they owe back dues on something.
No. There's no dues. It's not a social club.
Right.
It's not Mar-a-Lago.
No, it's not Mar-a-Lago. It's not Soho House.
God.
It's a treaty where everyone agreed to do a thing by 2024.
Right.
And not everyone has yet achieved that thing.
Yes.
Not everyone has decided to forego every social program in an effort to have the world's most bully-ish military.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I mentioned Article 5, and one of the things that all of these NATO countries were really looking for Trump to do in
NPS
his speech...
NPS is really the only point of NATO.
It's really the only point of NATO, yes, because it's that the...
to defend each other.
Yeah, that they would defend each other. Yeah. In the conflict, you know, if there was an event of a conflict with a foreign power that was that everybody, you know, that all of the NATO countries would rush to each other's, support, aid. Yes, exactly. And, you know, Trump, because of all of the terrible... /wrong things he's been saying about NATO, sort of has all of the, you know, NATO leaders on edge because they're like, is the USA going to leave NATO? And of course, they don't want that, obviously.
No. And so by the way, Madison McMaster's were running around having to do double time to assure everyone we weren't leaving NATO.
That we weren't leaving NATO, right, because they were really looking for him to assure the other countries under Article 5 that we were still intending to,
right.
like, you know, commit to that, and he didn't say anything about it. So that all sort of, like, had them, you know, a bit on edge. But in regards to that, if I were one of those world leaders that had not yet put 2% of my GDP in...
Wouldn't start
and,
now.
And I'm afraid that the world's superpower is not going to protect me under Article 5 of NATO and am concerned that they might be leaving in the first place, that's not great incentive for me to put in the money.
No. Especially not if I have a struggling economy where I'm choosing between, like, food for people and the fucking military.
Thank you. Yes. Which a lot of these European countries over the last, 10 years have
also,
had to do.
Like, a lot of the time, especially in the early days of recovering from a recession, your GDP goes up, but like only because rich people are making more money,
right?
As often happens here as well.
Yes,
and so
you're not trying to spend that money on
right. That's why they gave them a time frame to
right,
do this.
Exactly.
That's why they didn't have to do it by tomorrow.
Yeah, yes.
And also, that's not how funding in governments works. It takes a while to make these kinds of changes.
Yes,
it's just like too ridiculous as a talking point. And also, I hate when I have to learn about something specific like this about a fucking organization I don't care about.
I know.
Like, am I glad that we're a part of NATO? Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do I want us to leave? No, absolutely not.
No.
Do I want someone else to be responsible for understanding the NATO mechanisms or the NATO funding
right.
mechanisms?
I don't
want
to have to be looking it up to explain it to our own president.
No.
That's not what I'm looking to do.
No. It's too much work for me because I have another job.
Right. Exactly.
This is his only job. So I would imagine that if I were going to speak to NATO, I would have done the research.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Also, he had a very unfortunate photo op where he shoved the Prime Minister of Montenegro out of the way in an aggressive looking way that somehow, like all Trump shoves, made him look more awkward than the guy who'd been shoved.
Totally.
Every time that Trump does something aggressive with his body, it somehow makes him look more awkward than everyone else.
Yeah.
He could push a row of schoolgirls down and somehow they would come out looking cooler than him.
Yeah.
In like it Because then he did the most hilarious and cartoonish thing where he, like, goes to the front of the pack and puffs
like,
up
his
jacket and puts his nose in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the hell is wrong with him?
Yeah, I don't know. So many things.
It's like it's a mess. Also, there was a big scandal. Not a scandal, but there was a hubbub because a hubbub, not a hubbub.
Sure. What'd you call it?
Hubbub.
Sure.
A hubbub.
Yeah.
Because Melania was pictured at the G7, which is where he went next. In a $50,000 Dolce & Gabbana jacket, which, listen, she's rich. We get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a beautiful jacket. It's
lovely.
Maybe not the best message to spend when they're about, when they just released a budget that's basically cutting funding for every single thing in America from every person who needs food.
Right, exactly. For people who make less than that in a year.
Exactly.
Are the people who are getting fucked in the budget. Yep. So it was a real sort of...
It wasn't great optics. Meanwhile, Obama had the fortune of, just before the G7 meeting, having already had a meeting on the books with Angela Merkel.
Yes.
So, hilariously,
and those two
Trump got, like, one-upped by Obama on the final steps of his trip in a way that was just too amazing.
Yeah, because it really made her miss him greatly, Obama. Because, you know, they really became... pretty good friends.
Yeah.
By the time
she called him one of her favorite partners throughout her presidency.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's a lot of pictures of them. Sort
I know
of
that's
like,
what he called her.
Yeah, right. And supposedly she was the last phone call that he made.
Oh, really?
Before leaving the White House. Yes.
Well, they kind of are similar.
And
they're like
they sort of are. Yeah.
You know, kind of neoliberal leaders of major. You know, because Germany's essentially the leader of the EU.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of like neoliberal leaders of major nation states.
And depending
in the West,
on how far we actually go in sort of, you know, leaving groups like NATO. I mean, we haven't done it yet. But I mean, like, there is a case to be made for Angela Merkel as leader of the free world currently right now.
Which, you she's guys, just, as we've
not
said
great,
before,
many times.
Don't put Germany
she
in this position.
She herself seems like maybe she's not the worst, although she's certainly done things.
She's not the best.
She's certainly done things that we haven't agreed with, that we've talked about on this podcast before. But I mean, you
but
know.
If we know anything about Germany... You know, the people in, like, Weimar Germany weren't the worst.
Sure.
Except that they were,
except
you know,
that,
because
right, exactly.
That's how Hitler came to power. Like, Germany can fall apart too fast for my taste.
Yeah. But anyway, she had to see both current and former presidents on the exact same day.
And hilariously, Trump had to be usurped on his day of meeting Angela Merkel by Obama.
Yeah. Well, they had met already because, remember, he wouldn't even... shake her hand.
Right. No, yeah. Well, they had met.
Back at the White House.
But I mean, the reason you go to this meeting is to have a photo op at this meeting and have the news report about the meeting.
Right. Exactly.
And
yes.
Obama, who has no, you know, no official capacity of any sort.
Yeah, but he was there to he was there to give a speech at the, with her about democracy or something like that.
I
can't remember. But it had been on the books for like a year or whatever. And then it was
just happened to fall on the.
Right. Yeah. And we didn't even know that Trump was going to go to these meetings. Remember, there was all the talk as to whether he was even going to, you know.
Exactly.
But
so,
anyway.
Listen.
So, but it really made her miss him because she, well, I guess we had this story later in the document, but I feel like it now is as good a time as ever to talk about it. Because she basically the next day went, because she's running for re-election right now, went and gave a campaign speech where she said that, she said the days where Europe could rely on others was over to an extent. This is what I have experienced in the last few days. So Germany ready to go it alone, guys.
Oh God.
I mean, with Europe, but still.
But without the UK, the French hate them. So like, who is in this Europe that they're going with?
Yeah, I don't know, themselves.
Also, remember when they tried to create the Europe they were going to go with last time?
Right, exactly.
You guys.
Yeah.
I don't think, I know enough, it hasn't even been 100 years.
No.
There are people still alive who fought. Not were just alive, but fought in this war.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh boy.
In any case.
Anyway, if there's anything that can make you really miss Obama, it's a meeting with Trump. And if there's anything that can make you realize that
America's
Trump is
over,
a fucking buffoon, it's a meeting with Obama.
So true.
It's really, the dichotomy there is... pretty spectacular.
So let's list all the other stupid things Trump did on the trip.
Yeah,
just
because
get them out
these
of the
are actually the best things.
Yes.
Actually.
He told Macron, "You were my guy."
Which is a lovely sentiment to say to someone.
Right.
But unfortunately, we all have
proof from the, internet and that eyes Le Pen and, was his girl.
Right. Which he said many times, multiple times.
Yeah, right. He's documented as having been a Le Pen person until apparently...
This very moment.
This moment that he met Macron.
Yeah.
Well, he was desperate to be friends with Macron.
He was.
Because after the faux pas of accidentally supporting the wrong candidate in that race, he tried really hard to handshake Macron repeatedly and had hilarious rebuffs every time.
Yeah.
The first time, he tried to do his weird handshake where he yanks your arm and basically like pulls you off balance. Yeah. And Macron was ready and... had like they had like a weird like essentially like a wrestling match of handshakes.
They did.
Where he like weird. Macron squeezed his hand so hard that he couldn't do his weird pull thing and got disoriented.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that was why Trump all of a sudden became like a real
like a fanboy. Fan. No, I think it was.
Yeah. But then this was actually hilarious. This video was making the rounds.
Yes, and this I'm is sure one of the many saw, memes.
It was so good. But it was as Macron was walking up to all of the leaders at the I think it was at the NATO.
Or this was a G7, I think.
Oh, was it? Well, maybe it was. Remember. I can't remember. But yeah. So, but he's walking up there and like veers directly away from Donald Trump.
Nobody
like,
wants what, to shake anybody's hand.
Right. Goes to talk to Angela Merkel. Sure. And then shakes anyone's hand who is around him, whether he knew who they were or not. He may not have even at that point. Who knows?
Didn't matter.
He finally did have to get back to Trump, but they had another handshake square off at that point. But he like totally was like, oh, shit, I got to get out of here and go in a totally opposite direction.
Shake everyone else's hand.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And he was wandering around with Justin Trudeau just having like...
Like, the internet was really having a field day with that because they were like walking through a garden and it was in Italy. Like, there's like a picture of them on a terrace.
Like a romantic with, like, first date together.
It was like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And everybody is, you know, of course, in love with the two of them just as, you know, handsome world leaders.
Right.
So to see the two of them... walk around having a lovely time with each other was almost too much to bear.
The internet couldn't take it.
Yeah.
In any case, Trump then turned into a fanboy after those two, after Macron played hard to get.
Yeah. Wanted to go on his own date with Macron.
Yeah, and asked for his cell phone number.
Personal.
His personal cell phone number.
Wanted a celly. Oh boy. Yeah.
Well, asked him if he wanted his cell phone number.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
He said, do you want my cell phone number so we can speak directly to each other?
No.
No, nobody fucking wants that. But here's the best part. He's at the G7. He's in a place with world leaders who are walking around gardens and hanging out and doing whatever. Yes. He rode around all of Italy in a golf cart.
Behind all of them.
Behind all of the rest of like, the leaders who are walking.
Right. And specifically, there were a few moments where like they had like a photo op and then they had to like walk someplace that they said was like 700 yards or something like that. And so there was like there's like a whole group of the, you know, other G7 leaders. And then there's like a fucking golf cart riding behind them with Trump in it. Come on.
It's too funny.
It's too stupid.
It's too silly.
It's too silly.
It's like there are times where being... rich makes you excludes you from the fun.
Yes,
you're at a summit with world leaders.
Yeah, you're
They're
in
all
Italy.
Chatting. You're in Italy. You have a chance to just sort of like hang out with the prime ministers and presidents of all of the major European nations.
Yeah,
and you forego that chance so that you can ride alone in a golf cart because you're too good to walk, or maybe he's not in the perfect health that he promised, right?
Yeah,
Maybe he's not in infallible health.
Maybe he's not, yeah.
The greatest shape of any human being ever alive.
Yeah. Maybe he's the one who doesn't have the stamina.
Could be. Just some food for thought, guys. Mm-hmm. In any case, worth looking up the clips. Yeah. I mean, the photos.
Yeah, it is.
It's too
insane.
There's
clips or photos of everything that we just told you
this
about. And they're all great.
Was like mostly a meme-generating experiment.
Totally.
This trip.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in the Senate.
Yes.
They, after the CBO score came out for the House, like much of the, you know, CBO-loving universe.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, this, by the way, the CBO score got everyone into trouble because we didn't even put on the doc that...
It caused a body slam of a reporter by someone who was going to be going to
who's
U.S. House of Representatives.
There was a literal, like, assault committed against a reporter by the guy who won the Montana...
Right.
Special election.
Based on a question about the CBO.
Based on a question about the CBO. Right. That's how much the Republicans are trying not to talk about the CBO.
Right. Because what happened was the CBO score for the first Republican healthcare bill came out. They said it was going to kick 24 million people off of health insurance.
And everyone was like, we can do better.
Right. We can do better. So they went back. They passed this cockamamie plan that supposedly had some fixes in it. And then passed it specifically in an attempt to get it passed before the next CBO score came out.
Which because said they that didn't 23 million people
right, exactly. were going to so get they, kicked off they their did insurance. Do better,
and,
guys.
And
if they do it 23 more times, they'll be there.
If they do it, this what the less reported stat from this is that everyone's coverage will be worse under this new plan. Sure. So the last plan was everyone's coverage would be about the same or a little worse, and 24 million people would lose their insurance. This plan is even healthy people will have worse coverage now. Sick people won't have coverage, and 23 million people will still lose their health coverage.
Yeah.
Greg Gianforte in Montana was not trying to be asked a question about that
no.
by anyone, least of all The Guardian, who'd been dogging him about his own Russia connections for
right.
months now.
Yeah, he'd rather body slam somebody than talk about the CBO
yeah.
score.
But don't worry, he won.
Yeah.
He won by 7 points.
It's fine.
Go Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Montana, by the way, I saw someone posting, who I know who is from Montana, posting about how there are great people in Montana. Blah,
sure.
Blah, blah.
There's and I was a Democratic like, governor who people are talking about running for president
sure.
in 2020.
I was like, yeah, no, I'm sure there are some great people in Montana. I myself will not retire the mean things I've been saying about Montana no. until they get rid of this guy
yeah.
who's now going to Congress. By the way, though, this is the possible outcome for the Republicans.
Yeah, he's going to have to have he has a court date.
He has a court date next week or
for
something.
For assault.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, and it was a news story corroborated by the Fox News crew.
Yikes.
That's not what you're looking for.
No.
In any case, the Senate GOP, meanwhile, while they're busily writing their own terrible health bill, has basically been pretending they've never heard of this House bill. They obviously had a meeting where they were told that the line was, that's yesterday's news.
Yes.
Because multiple Republicans were asked about this by reporters and told, that's yesterday's news.
Yes.
And at the time,
it was yesterday's news,
literally.
Yes, I was
going to
say, in the sense that they were being asked about it on Thursday,
the day
and
after
the CBO score came out on Wednesday, it was, in fact, yesterday's news.
Yeah. That didn't make it not relevant news, though, which was the implication of their talking point.
Yes.
So they're all going on about how they're not going to focus on anyone else's bill because they have their own bill, as if that bill is just like a weird thing that never has doesn't touch their universe at all. So they're writing their
own bill. Hasn't yet, because as we mentioned either last week or the week before,
they have to vote on it again.
Right. The House hasn't sent them their bill. So they technically haven't heard of it. I mean, they've heard of it if they've been reading the news, which you would hope that they had. But
here we are. They
haven't been personally sent their own copy of it yet.
Nope. That's so true. But it's getting complicated because the Senate bill is going to have to tamp down on some of the madness of the House bill, but it's going to have to find a way to do it without getting rid of all of the quote-unquote cost savings
that goes into
the House bill.
Yeah, there's this rule that was put in place as part of, like, as a point of order from, like, the 2016 budget resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that whatever bill the Senate comes up with has to save as much money from the federal budget as the House bill would.
It's, like, but such a dumb rule that I can't
it's
even.
It's completely ridiculous. But what most of the senators are saying is that, because it's going to have to work within that structure, at least in some way.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's no way that they can just, like, throw the whole thing out. But what they're going to have to do, and even Republican senators are now starting to be on record as saying this, is that they will probably keep letting the states, you know, opt for a waiver or something.
Right.
But they're going to have to put in a lot more money to fund covering
all the people who are going to lose everything.
And they're going to be people who are more expensive to insure anyway because of the pre-existing condition.
I just cannot imagine a world where we're working this hard on what is definitively an idea that kicks more people off coverage.
Yeah.
Like, what? They're doing all this work to come up with an idea that's not Obamacare.
Yeah.
That will definitely still kick people off coverage.
I know.
Like, their bill isn't going to not kick
a similar number
of people off coverage.
No. Well, and that's the thing. Like, so
they're not going to find a way to do this bill where no one loses their coverage.
No. And they have to, right, exactly. And they're not going to be able to make the moderates in the Senate happy working under the constraints of the AHCA because the states are losing too much money, too much Medicare money.
There's going to be a big time lobbying effort from a bunch of even Republican governors.
Right, exactly.
This.
And they have a small majority. It's important to remember.
Yeah.
I mean, they only need three defectors and I think four of them wrote a letter to Mitch McConnell that said, we can't work within the House's bill. But I read an interesting story earlier in the week was that Republicans were actually sort of, that supposedly Senate Republicans were actually sort of excited by the CBO score being terrible again, because it basically, they felt like it gave them grounds to do their own thing. And basically to just scrap it. Because they can be like, why would we work under the constraints of this bill that's going to kick, you know, 23 million people off of their health insurance?
I want the Senate version of the bill to just be a single payer bill.
Right.
And let's see how they can, I want to see them work it out from there.
Yeah.
I want to see their bill gain coverage for people. And better coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
And just see if we can't.
Yeah.
If they want to co-opt that idea, I'm open to it.
Right?
I will let them do that.
Sure.
If they want to become the party of single payer, I'm in.
Yeah, God bless
just
them.
Do it.
Some party has to.
Exactly. In any case.
Doesn't seem to be ours.
Mitch McConnell doesn't seem all that excited to bring any of this to a vote.
No. Anytime soon. They're going to vote on something.
Right. They have to vote on something.
But they don't know what, and they don't know whether they'll get 50 votes, and they don't know when it'll be, and they really don't know anything about it at all, basically, is what
Mitch
McConnell has said.
Giving quotes that are basically like, well, the goal is to get 50 votes, which of course the fucking goal is to get 50 votes.
Yeah, but he said, here was his exact quote, and I think this was like an interview with Reuters or something, but he said, I don't know how we get to 50 votes at the moment, but that's the goal, and exactly what the composition of the bill is, I'm not going to speculate about, because it serves no purpose. So he can't even speculate about a bill that
could get 50 votes.
That his own party is working on currently in the Senate. So that should be a clue as to where they are with this, too, by the way.
Well, if I were them, I would sit on this forever.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they don't gain enough from getting rid of Obamacare finally.
No, they don't.
To make up for the fact that it's going to be so
unpopular.
That's
why they haven't just repealed it like they did 100 million times over the last 8 years.
Yeah, it was so easy before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead, repeal Obamacare. Well,
yeah.
You can't, like, there's no way for them to work on this issue using any Republican ideals and not come up with ultimately a worse thing
right,
for everyone.
Exactly.
There's no way to make that work.
There is not.
Meanwhile, at the state level, Alabama's in an interesting situation.
Yes.
Thanks in part to the LoveGov.
The LoveGov,
if you
remember. One of his last acts before having to resign, or did he resign or what happened?
Resigned,
yeah, he resigned before shit hit too much of the fan.
Before he had
to
go to court or whatever
before,
it was.
Right, exactly.
Was to appoint someone to fill Jeff Sessions' seat.
Right, exactly.
And the man that he appointed was not only named Luther Strange.
Yes.
But he's like 6'9".
Yeah, he plays basketball at Tulane or something like that.
He's a giant named Luther Strange. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's only been in the Senate 4 months, but suddenly the Republicans are really active on his reelection campaign.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because apparently there are two like far right out to play like nutzos gunning for that seat.
Yes. And so it's Alabama. So, I mean,
they could win.
They could certainly win.
Nobody knows anything.
Win in a landslide.
About what Luther Strange is up to, who he is, and what he does.
Doesn't matter.
And that doesn't matter.
Nope.
To any of them.
Yeah. But they are going to spend, the Senate Leadership Fund has already reserved $2.65 million of airtime. There, which is crazy.
In Alabama,
in a state that, like, you know, there's no chance of that. Like, the Democrats aren't trying to flip this.
No.
You know, like, so they are only, they're having to spend, and they have said that they are.
Millions of dollars.
Right, and they're pledging $10 million in the state, but they've already just committed to the 2.6. They're going to have to spend $10 million just to make sure that
someone who's not truly insane wins a primary. Yeah, like.
You would think that they would prefer to be spending that money elsewhere, and I'm sure that they would tell you that they would prefer to be spending that money elsewhere. But
and
like,
I am sure that I would tell you that they have no choice.
But when you only have 52 votes,
and you have an insurgent party inside of your own party,
exactly
as they do, as we've said in the House and to some degree in the Senate. I mean, there's the Ted Cruz's of the world are not working with people.
No,
you know,
Rand Paul,
he's up to whatever.
Those two aren't necessarily on the same
team. We're not trying to equate the two, but
they're
Ted Cruz is on the same team as the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
Rand Paul's on his own team.
Right, exactly.
He's on the Paul.
There's different teams, is what we're telling you.
Right.
Yeah.
The Paul team has been its own team for a long time now. Mm-hmm. In any case. So that's a wild turn of events
that we
could have seen happening in Alabama, but I'm sure Alabama didn't want to see happening to itself.
Yeah.
But they've had some. Ted Cruz refused to endorse Strange.
Yeah.
Which he's an asshole and no one likes him. So
totally.
I bet they've already had bad interactions.
Yeah. For
because
sure.
he's the least liked person in the Senate.
Yeah.
And this guy is apparently not much of a Trump guy, and that's part of what the issue is that these two people that are running are big Trump guys,
right.
and Alabama, they're big. That's big Trump country,
right? And this was what you know.
Strange's
in that,
biggest foible is that he won't support the president of his own party,
and in that in that Montana race that we talked about earlier today, Gianforte, who ended up winning, granted, he did win by much less than Trump himself did, because Trump won by 20%, and I think he only won by 7%. So that's like at least some solid movement there. But he hugged Trump real tight, too.
Yeah.
Because Montana is still a bunch of Trump lovers, too. Exactly. So as much as terrible as Trump seems to be doing and as bad as his approval rating is, you can still find places where running on Team Trump is not the detriment that you would hope that it would be. And Alabama is one of those places.
Nate Silver pointed out something important, even though I often don't trust him anymore because he so misunderstood this last election.
The presidential election, yeah.
Which is that though they're not winning any seats, Democrats are running 15 points ahead of where they were running in 2016 as an average.
But they've only had
deep red seats.
I was going to say, they've only had races where they would have had to have bested by more than that 15% to be able to actually pick them up. All of
these seats in these special elections are appointees from the Trump administration. So they're only they're deep red seats because that's who gets appointed to the Trump administration.
Yeah.
So there's not that many places where people are running in, you know, purple to blue counties where we can see any of this inaction in a county where it makes a difference.
Right. But if you take a purple seat that was won by a Republican in 2016 by 3 percentage points, that person is toast if this is a nationwide trend.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's
so we need to remember
an important thing to remember.
Right. Because I've seen a lot of super annoying posts of late talking about like how talking about how none of Bernie's people have won. And like the Sanders phenomenon is a flame out and like none of them have actually won anything. Right. And blah,
all
blah,
of them
blah,
have closed much bigger gaps than any of the establishment Democrats have ever hoped to in states that they weren't running in.
Big time.
Because if they had paid attention to that seat, Quist wouldn't have been the candidate.
Yeah.
You know, the establishment Democrats wouldn't have let him run.
Right. Exactly.
They found out about it because they weren't paying attention to the seat.
Yeah.
That's what happened in all of these seats.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you got to pay attention to, like,
The only person who anybody has seemed to care about as far as the Democrats has been John Ossoff.
And he was a huge disappointment.
He got the same percentage that Hillary did in that.
Yeah.
Because
he was just like her.
Exactly. So.
But yeah, that conversation has been happening a lot. That's why I'm kind of like, listen, these candidates are running way ahead of where Hillary is running in these districts.
Yeah.
Way ahead.
Yeah.
And these are deep red districts.
Yeah. But leave it to the Democrats to be taking away the wrong, you know,
message from
the wrong
this.
Message.
Well, and
from
the
this.
Message is, listen, if you want to run people in these districts, pay attention to all of the races.
Yeah.
It's a 50-state strategy message.
Yeah.
If they wanted to launch real campaigns in these districts, they could have.
Yeah.
They were choosing not to.
Totally.
And, you know, and maybe we're not going to, you know, the Montana race I'm disappointed about because they have a Democratic governor. And I think, and this guy had already lost statewide office. I'm sort of disappointed that happened that way.
Yeah.
But that, what was that? That race in Arkansas, or was it Arkansas? That where there was the race where they just stepped in at the last minute to make phone calls.
Oh, Kansas.
I mean, Kansas. Yeah. Where, you know, we had a progressive candidate make up a huge, you know, in a deep red district, like make up a huge, like chasm of you know vote, like those kinds of races are not necessarily pointing to a bad long game strategy.
No,
you know,
not at all. Definitely not.
In any case, that's what's going on in the great LoveGov's state. Meanwhile, in Portland, they had this crazy situation where two men got stabbed to death by a crazy white supremacist who is ranting at these two poor women who were in hijab on the train. And these two guys went to intervene.
Came
to their defense because the women were obviously shaken.
Yeah.
And they got their throat slashed. And by the way, this wasn't the first time that this guy has done something that has made the police take notice.
Yeah.
Because he also has tried to attend a march for free speech in Portland with a baseball bat to attack left-wing protesters. But so the police took away his bat, but he spent all day yelling racist slurs and giving the Nazi salute all over town.
Yeah. He's called for a homeland for whites.
Yeah. He's anti-Semitic. Surprise, surprise.
Sure. Yes.
So his Facebook page is just like awash with, you know, white supremacist bullshit.
Yeah.
But a stabbing to death on the train.
I know. And a third person was stabbed.
And survived.
It's going to be okay. But
God, that is not what you're hoping will happen.
God, in Portland of all places, too.
Trump took a while to comment on it.
He did. He finally got around to it.
He finally got around to it days later. Silence was
deafening for a while.
He tweeted on... Slate had an article that was just all the tweets he had sent since the news had broken that weren't about
it. Yeah, it was like 20 times that Trump could have mentioned that and like didn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He managed to mention everything else.
Yeah.
And in final news, we may not have a government anymore anyway because the GOP cannot... You know, they fired everyone from the Obama administration, but they can't find any single person to fill any of the empty slots in the government right now.
Remember when they got rid of all of the, who was it? Oh, it's the judges, right? They got, or the prosecutors, or who was it? I don't know. They basically, it's a normal thing for presidents to do.
Right.
Where they get rid of sort of like all of that. It was a bunch of
Department of Justice roles.
Right, there you go.
The U.S. attorney post.
There it is. That's what it was. U.S. attorney, yes. And
you guys use legal words.
Right,
not
I know, exactly. But usually you sort of have... You've prepared a list of people who might fill these spots before you just decide to take all of their resignations.
You have some ideas. You have some candidates. You've been thinking about this. You have a team that's devoted to finding these people and, you know, vetting them.
And it's like 90 people.
Yeah, it was 93, I believe.
Not 93 one posts person has been nominated to fill one of these posts.
And you know what other posts they can't find anyone to fill? The FBI.
Yes. Everybody's dropping out of that. Yeah.
We don't have to worry about Lieberman being the FBI director, as we worried about, because he and everyone else has withdrawn their name.
Yep.
And who can blame them?
Yeah. Who would want that job?
So it's like real bad news over in the White House.
And the other thing that is concerning about this is because they already had a smaller group than you would normally have to pick from. Due to the fact that there were so many Never Trumpers.
Right.
They couldn't go to all of your sort of like classic people to fill a lot of these posts.
Right.
And so then they also now, and this is scary because they already have, they don't know what they're doing already. So you would hope that they would have people who would be working in the administration who would know what they were doing. But unfortunately, what they're having to do is they're having to promote people who basically aren't ready for the promotion.
Yeah, who aren't qualified.
They're taking people sort of like a decade prior to when they would actually probably be having these posts and like giving them jobs that they aren't really qualified for because they're having to fill them.
To fill jobs that need to be filled. It's the whole thing is classic Trump.
Classic Trump.
And it's a concerning direction for us to be taking.
It really is.
We don't have any updates on the Mar-a-Lago sinkhole because there are no updates. But we don't worry. We're keeping on top of it. So if there is an update, we'll bring that to you.
Yeah.
And hopefully next week, I just need a break. So hopefully next week, there's not any major breaking revelations.
No more bombshells.
No more bombshells. No one is committing treason. But I like
bombshells.
Let's be honest.
I at least want some gossipy leaks.
Yeah, the gossipy leaks I can get behind, and I know we'll have some of those.
We'll definitely have some of those.
But I'm curious to see, now that Trump is back from his vacation and the holiday weekend ends, I'm curious to see what happens to Kushner. Right. I'm curious to see what happens with, you know, this FBI director search could be ongoing for the rest of time.
Sure.
Like, I'm curious to see how, you know, how this Russia story kind of breaks out.
Yep.
There's a lot that we're awaiting. And with that, we will leave you and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.